own missing left eye, to match the Megas, but decided against it.
Now, as for this matter of business, we simply need you to act as foreman or charge hands on our plantation.
And in the mines.
And in the mines. You see, we employ a number of muties, and they seem to be escaping. We need to regain a control.
You use stickies as slaves. Like old times, Wolfram. And now they've revolted, rebelled, run away. And you are well and truly fucked. And you want us to pluck your chestnuts out of the fire. Appropriate when you're dealing with stickies, isn't it?
They've kidnapped three of our foremen. Vanished from the mine in the fields. Gone into the hills in the forest. Not a trace of them. Just whispers and rumors and the occasional burned-out homestead.
You've got some triple good sec men. Why not promote some of them? Or send them out on the trail of the stickies. Teach them a lesson.
We are talking as many as 100 stickies. And we believe they are attracting more numbers every day. And some other muties, perhaps.
And you think me and JB can regain control for you? On our own? Wolfram glared down at Ryan, his small eyes wide with hatred.
Let us be clear. What Traitor did to us both cannot be forgiven. He is gone. You were his trusted able lieutenants, and you now carry the blood price. My heart says to chill you and your companions very slowly.
But you need us.
Yes.
And you will set aside the feud and let us go. Let us all go, if we can destroy the uprising and return some of the stickies to you again?
Yes. We will give you 7 clear days to get away from us afterward. Then the feud will begin again, to the death.
Sounds fair, don't it, Ryan?
It does. But Ryan knew in his heart that he could never trust the Megas and Wolfram. They were deeply, inalienably corrupt and evil. But what he and JB needed was time. They couldn't kill Christy and the others before the attempt had been made on the stickies. That would remove their overwhelmingly strong hand and would be grotesquely foolish. Neither the Magus nor Wolfram were stupid. The treachery would come after Ryan and JB had done what they could with the stickies. Failure would mean all 6 deaths, and so would success unless they got their retaliation in first.
Well, time is passing.
We will return your weapons and have you dropped off well before we reach the burnt mill, so you won't need to look out for it and try to make an escape.
With plans of where the mine is, the farm, our fortress, and where we believe the stickies have fled.
Ryan glanced down the table to JB, who pushed back the brim of his fedora and gave an almost imperceptible nod.
All right, we'll do it. How long before we get put offshore of the boat?
Wolfram looked at his golden cron, the numbers traced with tiny diamonds and rubies.
If we pick up speed, it'll be in about 3 hours.
Ryan checked his own cron. That'll be about 90 minutes from dusk.
Sounds all right. We get the map and our blasters back before then?
Yes.
Ryan stood, followed by JB. Then we'll go and rest up in our cabin. See you later. Ryan lay on the double bed in his cabin. JB stood by the open shutters at their window, looking out over the fog-shrouded river.
They must know if they put us over the side a distance from their headquarters that we'll try to get at them. Rescue the others. At least give it a go.
But it's part of their sicko game, isn't it? They know they've got the aces in their hands, but this is all about vengeance. What the bastards want to see is us struggle against them and lose. Eventually, we might have to play their game. Go after the stickies and try to help Magus and Wolfram get their business back together again. Then they'll waste us all, and the game will be done for them.
True. That's the way I see it as well. But I reckon we have to try it. They give us a chance on a plate, so we'll wreck it. How's the weather?
Clearing. I can catch glimpses of the far bank. Wooded, small hills. All I can make out. Must be close to time for them to put us ashore. They haven't given us our blasters or the map yet, like they promised.
Ryan swung his legs off the bed and stood.
What I'd like most is a chance to get back at that treacherous shitter, Houston. He delivered Christy and the others into their hands, which betrayed us as well.
Yeah, I might get a chance at him one day.
Yeah?
It was one of the officers, accompanied by two of Wolfram and the Magus' armed Sekhmen. They carried the Uzi, the Steyr rifle, the Smith & Wesson Flechette-firing scattergun, and Ryan's trusty Sig Sauer 9mm P226 with a built-in baffle silencer.
Your blasters?
What about my Panga?
And the map.
One of the Sekhmen reached into his belt, drawing out the 18-inch blade. His comrade fumbled in an inside pocket and tugged out a folded sheet of paper.
How long before we get put ashore?
Soon. Sometime in the next half hour.
We free to walk around the boat until then?
Don't see why not. Nobody said not.
Fine. Thanks.
The three men left the cabin. Everything on board was perfectly normal. The afternoon was wearing on, and the sun was setting like a ball of brazen flame far off to the west. All the saloons were busy. Crap games, roulette, and the jack slots all doing good business. Nobody took any notice of Ryan and the armorer as they strolled by, carrying their weapons. They had already checked out the map, which seemed simple enough. It showed their landing point, the place where the fast boat had taken Christy and the others, the fortified ville of Wolfram and the Magus, close by the mine, with a plantation a little farther off, and a deserted settlement. The map also showed the rough dotted region where it was believed the fleeing muties had established their own base. It was carefully drawn, showing the main geo features to scale, including rivers and streams, a swamp, and a region where there was a warning of mines and traps. Ryan and JB had studied it for several minutes, concentrating all their combat attention on it. They were carrying the map along with them, but both of them could have redrawn it from memory with precise accuracy. They passed by a group of gaudy sluts gathered around a drunken priest who had clearly been a big winner at the tables, waving a wad of jack.
Anyone seen the captain recently?
A squint-eyed blonde in a low-cut basque looked at Ryan.
Have a better time with us, honey bunch.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, but I need to see Houston for a while. Then we might come right back and take you up on that offer of a better time.
The whore was sitting on the sofa next to the almost comatose priest, her left hand tucked inside the front of his pants, working hard at trying to raise his interest without much visible success.
Seen him a few minutes ago, walking the upper deck toward the stern.
Ryan turned on his heel and led JB back toward their cabin, brushing past the throng of gamblers and idlers, who parted like the Red Sea when they saw the grim look on the tall, heavily armed man's face. They spotted the short, muscular figure of the captain, walking alone down the port side of the boat, leaning over the side now and again, staring out toward the banks, where a few stubborn tendrils of mist lingered. Ryan came up on his left, JB on the right.
Yeah? What could I do for you, gentlemen? We'll be stopping real soon now.
Ryan was looking around. Everyone seemed to be inside. The stretch of deck all the way along to the stern was deserted. He hooked a hand through the man's arm and urged him along. JB had casually lifted the Uzi so that the muzzle was pressing into Houston's ribs.
Let's walk a spell. Just a quick talk about what you've done for us. I don't reckon there's much more that you can do for us now.
Houston didn't speak, his body slumping, legs faltering, as though he knew how far the walk was going to be and how it was likely to end. Ryan stopped when they were right at the stern, the spray from the throbbing paddle wheel hanging in the golden light of the setting sun. Nobody was around.
Here'll do.
I couldn't help it. They threatened me.
And paid you.
Sure. You wouldn't have turned down all that jack they offered me.
Wrong. As wrong as you can be.
Houston's face was white as parchment. The cool air was suddenly filled with the hot smell of urine, and a damp patch appeared at the front of his pants.
You can have all the jack.
Sorry, Captain. I just don't have the time.
He lifted the silenced Sig Sauer, pressing the barrel against the side of the trembling man's skull, just above his right ear.
Gone. Want him over the back? Good as any, I reckon.
Yeah, quick as we can, before anyone comes by.
They lifted the dead man and dropped the corpse over the damp railing, where it landed on the revolving wheel and was carried down and under.
Shit!
The draggled, sodden body appeared again, hooked between the white slats of the massive paddle wheel. The eyes looked to be staring at them as the body rolled over, one arm seeming to beckon as it vanished once more.
What are we gonna do? Someone's bound to see it.
Ryan didn't hesitate. He climbed over the rail, reaching out his left hand for JB to hang on to, waiting until the corpse reappeared. He heaved at the limp hand, He nearly lost his grip on the cold, wet flesh, but tightened his fingers.